We continue now with our scripture reading. We're at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them, and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law, and your sons, and your daughters, and whomever you have in this city. Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place, because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. And it came about, when they had brought them outside, that one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small, that my life may be saved?" And he said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Thus it came about, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. And Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And it came about on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their family drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And as for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. Thus reads the word of God. Genesis 19:29. Thus it came about, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. We now come to one of those seemingly insignificant statements that are nestled in the midst of an historical event. As we read in this chapter, the details concerning the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are relayed along with the manner of Lot and his two daughters' salvation from that destruction. These were the only survivors of the divine judgment hurled upon the evilness and the wickedness of these vile inhabitants. However, in the midst of the very account of this scene of utter and absolute destruction, there is a quick interjection by the Holy Spirit concerning Abraham. God remembered Abraham. It is very easy to just skip through this statement in that Abraham is only seen as an observer of the destruction. And then we have these few words as the account returns to Lot and his daughters. Other than this, there is not very much detail afforded to Abraham in this entire chapter. However, to disregard the significance of this quick statement would be to miss a tremendous aspect of God's heart toward us. The very depth of God's consideration and heart toward humanity is declared in this truth that God remembered Abraham. The Amplified Bible gives us a better sense of what is involved in this seemingly insignificant report of verse 29. He earnestly remembered Abraham, imprinted and fixed him indelibly on his mind. This is not a minor statement that was just slipped into this chapter. As a matter of fact, it has been argued that the entire account of Sodom and Gomorrah's and Lot's salvation from destruction is centered on the fact that God remembered Abraham. God so considered Abraham that he imprinted and fixed him indelibly on his mind. What is so exciting about this is that we eternally have the heart of God toward us expressed in this very same manner. The Almighty, infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent Creator of heaven and earth and of all things universal so regards and so loves us that we are imprinted and fixed indelibly on His mind. He remembers us, you and me. This is of incredible consequence in terms of our relationship, our living and full relationship with God Almighty. We do not serve a God who is generally concerned with the affairs of mankind. He is not just able to deal with governmental changes and patterns of ecological influence for the sake of the general welfare of humanity. He cares for and remembers you and me individually, even though we're on this earth but a passing moment in the terms of eternity. God knows each one of His people by name. He works in both the deep and the seemingly insignificant aspects of our life to make Himself known and to show forth His ceaseless hand of guidance, protection, grace, mercy, love, and remembrance. Matthew Henry brings to light a great statement of encouragement for us as God's people, with consideration to the manner in which God remembers our prayers, especially concerning our family, in a very personal and powerful way. Quote, "Here is God's favorable regard to Abraham. As before, when Abraham prayed for Ishmael, God heard him for Isaac. So now when he prayed for Sodom, He heard him for Lot. He remembered Abraham, and for his sake sent Lot out of the overthrow." Note first, God will certainly give an answer of peace to the prayer of faith in His own way and time. Though for a while it seemed to be forgotten, yet sooner or later it will appear to be remembered. And second, the relations and friends of godly people fare the better for their interest in God and intercessions with Him. It was out of respect to Abraham that Lot was rescued. Perhaps this word encouraged Moses long afterwards to pray in Exodus 32:13. "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou didst swear by thyself, and didst say to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." End quote. The fact that God remembers us should bring encouragement to every one of us who have been praying for our family members year after year. Some have been earnest requests for the loved ones to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some have been for a deep and living relationship to develop. Some have been for reconciliation, or for protection, or for guidance, or for healing. The truth is that at some point in the economy of God's divine providence, in full accordance to His will and His purpose, we and our ceaseless prayers will be remembered. Those loved ones will be shown the truth of the hand of God in operation because we are remembered in the heart and the mind of God. From before eternity began until its never ending, God will remember you, and He will remember me, and He will work, and He will work, and He will work. From before eternity began until its never ending, God will remember you, and He will remember me, and He will work in accordance to that remembrance. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia highlights the various aspects of God's remembering in a manner that stresses its importance. It is enlightening in terms of the depth and the blessing which it entails. With your patience, I would like to spend the remainder of this morning reading it together and sharing the numerous passages of Scripture which highlight the basic concepts involved. Then, next week, Lord willing, we will look at God's remembering in a more personal and detailed manner. As we share this reading together, please take note of the emphasis that is placed upon the prayers of the people of God. It is very evident that prayer is the medium of calling to mind the realities of God in our lives as He answers them in His faithful loving kindness and remembrance. Quote, God remembers, or is asked in prayer to remember, His covenant, Genesis 9:15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. Exodus 2:24, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Psalms 105:8, He has remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations. Psalms 106:45, and He remembered His covenant for their sake, and relented according to the greatness of His loving kindness. Exodus 16:60, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. And Luke 1:72, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, or His promise. Psalms 105:42, for He remembered His holy word with Abraham His servant. The covenant closely relates to the fundamental bond of mutual remembrance that unites God and man. In prayer, Jeremiah calls upon God to remember and to not break the covenant. Jeremiah 14:21, do not despise us for thine own name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember and do not annul thy covenant with us. God remembers individuals. He remembered Noah, Genesis 8:1, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. And Abraham, Genesis 19:29, thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when He overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. By making His covenant with him, with them. He remembered Rachel, Genesis 30:22 and 23. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb, so she conceived and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. And Hannah, in their barrenness, by giving them a child. God remembers sin and iniquity, Hosea 7:2. And they do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are before my face. Hosea 8:13, as for my sacrificial gifts, they sacrifice the flesh and eat it. But the Lord has taken no delight in them. Now He will remember their iniquity and punish them for their sins. They will return to Egypt. Hosea 9:9, they have gone deep in depravity, as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. But He also remembers His mercy and truth. Psalms 98:3, He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Since to remember is to act, prayers often ask God to remember. Thus, remembering is not merely a recalling of the past, but is also a call to action. God remembered Samson, his strength returned. Judges 16:28, then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Hannah prayed that God would remember her, 1 Samuel 1:11, and she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of Thy maidservant, and remember me, and do not forsake Thy maidservant, but will give Thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. And he did when she conceived a son. 1 Samuel 1:19. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. In 2 Chronicles 6:42, Nehemiah prayed that God would In 2 Chronicles 6:42, Solomon asked God to remember his steadfast love. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. Remember thy loving kindness to thy servant David. Nehemiah prayed that God would remember his word to Moses, that he would gather his scattered people. Nehemiah 1:8-9. Remember the word which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the midst of the remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Job prayed for God to remember him. Job 14:13, Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in Sheol, that thou wouldst conceal me until thy wrath returns to thee, that thou wouldst set a limit for me and remember me. God is asked to remember how the petitioner is scorned. Psalms 89:50, Remember, O Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the peoples, and persecuted by enemies. Psalms 74:2-18-22. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, which thou hast redeemed to be the tribe of thine inheritance, and this Mount Zion where thou hast dwelt. Remember this, O Lord, that the enemy is reviled, and a foolish people has spurned thy name. Do arise, O God, and plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee all day long. Some prayers remind God that human life is short. Psalms 89:47. Remember what my span of life is, for what vanity thou hast created all the sons of men. And human beings are frail. Job 10:9. Remember now that thou hast made me as clay, and wouldst thou turn me into dust again? And Psalms 78:39. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. Jeremiah 14:10 says that God will remember, punish the sins of his people. Thus says the Lord to his people, Even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. In other passages, the petitioner asked God not to remember the sins of the petitioner. Psalms 25:7, Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Psalm 79:8, Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let thy compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Habakkuk 3:2, Lord, I have heard the report about thee, and I fear. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make it known. In wrath remember mercy. Since not to remember sins is to forgive them. Jeremiah 31:34, And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Thus, for God to remember may be positive. To remember his covenant is to show his steadfast love, or negative. To remember sins is to punish them. End quote. As is evident, there is very much involved in the fact that God remembers. This is in no wise to say that God forgets, as we do in our human frailty of mind and memory. God does not remember our sins when we are covered in the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. This falls under the domain of choosing to see us in Christ rather than in ourselves. God is not man. God is not limited by the mental resources and the physical confines of our brains. His thoughts are not our thoughts, nor are our ways his ways. He far transcends and supersedes anything of which we could even conceive. Having stated this, we are to rejoice in the fact that God does remember us. He knows us. He works for our best interest in coming into line with His will and His plan and His purpose in Jesus Christ. Yes, we do pray for God to remember His loving kindness toward us, but that prayer is not so much in order to stir Him to remembrance, but to cause us to remember who God is. When we pray, as in all these recorded prayers that we have just read, for God to remember, it makes us believe upon Him in a very personal and very real manner. We talk with Him, and we sojourn with Him, and we commune with Him. We know that He will remember us when it is the time for Him to do all that He chooses to do in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. We can count on His faithfulness and His sovereignty to remember us, just as He remembered Abraham and all those so recorded in His Word. So be it. Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when He overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Amen.